Thank you for tuning in to our online sermons. I'm Pastor Brandon Walters, and I pray this message will bless and encourage you today.
Leave the upper room. They are headed to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will pray his great high priestly prayer and will later be arrested by the mob led by Judas. So kind of give you a visual of what's going on here. And apparently, when we look to the scriptures and we see all the things that Jesus went through, apparently Jesus speaks the words which compromise chapters 15 and 16 en route to the garden. In this chapter that we find ourselves this morning, Jesus is pictured for us as the true vine. I can just kind of imagine Jesus and these men going through the darkened streets there in the city and then passing beyond the walls into the surrounding countryside. And during that time of year, which would be mid-April, the grapevines would be, they would be beginning to blossom. And with the promise of a fresh harvest. And so as Jesus and his disciples were walking, I can kind of just picture him reaching out and taking a vine in his hands and beginning to use it as an object lesson to teach his men. Many of us will read and maybe we don't fully understand the reason, but Jesus had a desire, and his desire was to teach them about the most vital relationship that they have in their lives. He had a desire to show them exactly what that was, and that relationship would ultimately be between him, Jesus Christ, and his Father. I understand this morning relationships are important, and you have relationships as husbands and wife. You have relationships with your children, but let me just remind you and encourage you, and this isn't rocket science this morning, folks. The best relationship you can have is between Jesus and the Father. That's exactly what Christ was trying to remind them this morning. And maybe we asked ourselves as we read through this, why did Jesus give them this teaching now? He had all this time that he got to spend with them, all the trips that they were on, the roads that they traveled. The answer is very simply this: they needed it right there. They needed this message. These men have just been informed that Jesus is going away, but that his work is going to continue. And you got to understand all the emotions that are going through their mind at this present moment. And Jesus is just letting them know and reminding them, your job is to continue these teachings, to continue this strategy that I have put in place. And it's to go forward and help people change their lives by allowing them to abide in Jesus Christ. They were probably startled for sure. We don't really know what was going on. We understand they kind of all scattered and they kind of went their separate ways. We read later on of Peter and John running back to the grave, and we read about all the disciples in their different places. This morning we're 2,000 years removed from that night, but the work of the Lord still marches forth today. We're removed from that day, but God is still working through the followers of Jesus Christ to accomplish his work and to accomplish his will in the world today. I don't think it's evident, but maybe it needs to be to you this morning. But I believe many of you would agree with me when you say the world needs Christ. Amen. The world needs Jesus. The world doesn't need any more ideologies. The world doesn't need any more of these theories. The world just needs the true vine. And so that's exactly what I want to teach on this morning, the true vine. And I want to see how we can, just by the example of Jesus Christ and God, can have those examples in our life and how we can become more like him. And I want you to make me a deal and a promise this morning. We hand out those sheets on the way in. Those are filled with notes on the inside, fill in the blanks that you can follow along with. If you didn't take one of those, that's fine. I just want you to promise this: you will not forget a thing that I say this morning. I'm going to be very honest this morning. We are going to be very interactive. There are a lot of things that you will need to probably write down. If you do not get those written down, I will sell you my notes for $100 a PDF. So if you have your notes, I want you to follow along with me this morning. First of all, I want you to see from the scriptures the personality of the true vine. The personality of the true vine. And we read that in the first three verses. Notice those with me this morning, if you will. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And there are a few thoughts that pop out to me right away this morning as we begin. And I want you to notice, first of all, the genuineness of the true vine. The genuineness of the true vine. And I'm going to just say this very simply this morning. We could spend an eternity on this point right here, but I'm going to make it short and sweet and to the point. When we talk about Jesus and Jesus alone, he possesses life within himself that no other Savior, no other King, no other false God will ever possess in this life. Past, present, future. The Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when I study the Bible and when I look at the world and the religions that are in the world, I'm often brokenhearted because you see people that follow these religions, they follow these false messiahs, they follow these false gods, and that's exactly where they're headed, to a false sense of security. They are headed to a devil's hell this morning because they are not believing and following in the genuine Savior, and that would be Jesus Christ this morning. When we look at the vine, I want you to just notice and understand that all other vines are counterfeit. Jesus Christ alone is the true source of everlasting and abundant life. But I want you to notice there's another character that the Bible mentions here in the first couple of verses, and that would be the gardener. The gardener of the true vine. The word that is used there is the word husbandman. And it refers to the vine dresser, once again, the gardener, if you will, the one who has the responsibility of caring for the vineyard. And Jesus says that the Heavenly Father is the gardener. So Jesus is the vine, the husbandman would be a picture of God. And the key phrase that we need to catch on to very early this morning comes in verse 2, and that would be the word here, every branch. Look at your Bibles, verse number 2. The Bible says, every branch, what are the next two words? Let's say it together. Every branch in me. That is the key right there. Every branch in me. This lets us know that we are dealing with genuine believers this morning. Jesus isn't speaking about those who profess Christ and yet have never possessed him. He is not talking about the tares this morning. If you remember back to a few weeks ago, he's talking about the wheat, and he's talking about genuine Christians, those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in God our Father, those that have allowed God to lead their life. That is who this vine or this story is really referencing this morning. And there's a couple of thoughts that the gardener has that I want to share with you, and these aren't in your notes. You can write these down. The gardener is involved in everything that has to do with the vine. These verses, it really zero in on three specific duties that the gardener has in regard to the vine. And I want you to notice that when we study our Bible, what we see, the duties or the jobs, if you will, of the gardener is, first of all, he offers us protection. He gives us protection. Once again, that is the gardener. He provides tender watch over our lives. He provides tender care, and he gives the protection for the vineyard. And I want to just say this morning. Aren't you glad that God sees all in our life this morning? The Bible reminds us of Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And boy, I wish there were times that I could be there in every moment to help you and to watch you and to help lead you and guide you. I know that there's times that I need people in my life to help me and lead me and guide me, but I'm always reminded that God is watching. And in those moments where it feels like we have been forsaken by all others, that nobody cares, God is still there. He's watching out for us. He cares for us. He loves us, and he protects us this morning. Those of you that grew up with parents remember what it was like to be a teenager. You look back, and I always laugh because teenagers, they just always develop a rebellious attitude, amen? Not Mike and Champ. They're perfect, amen? But other teenagers just seem, and maybe you can remember back to your young days, and you remember what it was like to be a teenager, and Mom and Dad would tell you to do one thing, and usually, without missing a beat, you would go and do the exact opposite. And usually in your mind, whether you said this out loud or not, it was along the lines of this thought, what do they know? Well, looking back now as a father of my own, I can look back and say, Mom and Dad were trying to protect me. I can remember growing up being a part of the youth group, and just because your kids come to church, and just because your kids go to a Christian school, and just because your kids go to a youth group does not mean that there won't be bad influences. It does not mean that there won't be temptations in their life. And I can remember my dad walking with me up to the youth pastor and telling the youth pastor, this kid comes to the activity tonight, Brandon has no business being around this young person. And I was like, gee, Dad, thanks a lot for embarrassing me like that. Why don't you just take me home and lock me into a closet, why don't you? I can remember there were times I'd be invited to go places with some of the kids in my youth group and some of my friends, and I would get in a car, and I'll never forget one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. I walked into the house, Mom, Dad, there's a party. I'm going to hang out with some of the kids from church, and I tried to sell it off real good like it was going to be a spiritual event. And I remember getting into the back of that car, getting ready to take off, only to have my dad come out to the car, drag me out of that car, and embarrass me in front of all my friends. At that time, I can remember thinking, you know nothing. Looking back now, knowing what I know now, they were trying to protect us. And that's exactly what our Lord and Savior does for our life this morning. Aren't you so glad that we have a protector in God? Amen. I want you to also notice that the gardener's duties, it's not only to protect, but to purify. The gardener uses these primary methods of purifying his vineyard. And what we see from the scriptures in verse number 2, he challenges the branch. The Bible uses the words there in verse number 2, he taketh away. It means he to lift up or to raise higher. And that is, the gardener will take the unfruitful branch and lift it from dirt to dirt into which it has fallen, giving it a better chance to be productive. I don't know about you this morning, but that really hits well with me as a Christian. God doesn't just give up on us as Christians this morning when we're not producing fruit. He tries to do everything he can to move us around, to bring us through some struggles and bring us through some hard times, to get us to a place where we begin to bear fruit again as Christians. He challenges the branch. We see that on a personal level. Once again, this means that when we get into a place in our Christian lives where we are unfruitful and barren, the Lord will have to reach into our lives and disturb our slumber, and he will lift us up in an effort to challenge us and to shock us into more productive growth for his cause. But another part of this I want you to notice, the Bible says that he cleanses. The Bible uses the word, he purgeth. He purgeth it. The Bible uses that word again in the Psalms. Remember when David was quoting that psalm, he used a phrase in a passage like this, purge me with hyssop. It's not a common word that we use today. I don't even really know if we fully understand what it was. My understanding of what hyssop was, this may be right or wrong, you can tell me afterwards, but my understanding of what hyssop was is we all are familiar with a disease known as leprosy, aren't we? Leprosy was pretty incurable. When they figured it out that somebody had leprosy, most of the time they were exiled from the community, thrown out, but they would go into the leper's house and they would clean the house with hyssop. There is a cleaning that's taking place, and there is a cleaning that is the duty of the gardener in our life, and that would be God. And when we think about how he purges our life as Christians, we really can look no further than the scriptures and see in the book of James. James says that he uses God's word like a mirror. In fact, look at verse number 3. And this is why I encourage you to highlight it this morning. The Bible says, now ye are clean through the word. And when you get to the book of James, James really uses the word of God like a mirror. And when we look at a mirror, what do we usually do when we're looking at a mirror? We're looking for imperfections. We're trying to straighten ourselves up, get it together. Some of you, it's very evident you looked into a mirror this morning. Others, I'm not so sure. But when we look at God's word, that's exactly what it's supposed to be for our life, is a mirror. It's supposed to point out the imperfections and show us where and how we can fix things through God's word. And then we go to the book of Hebrews, and we notice that the writer there, he uses the word of God and says it cuts and penetrates just like a knife or a sword, if you will. God uses his word to clean us this morning. Aren't you so glad for that? He points out the imperfections. He shows us what's going wrong in our life. And the question really this morning is this, and we all need to be able to answer this, is has the Lord been speaking to you as a Christian? Boy, I looked at my life this morning, and I'm so glad I can see within this last week areas, moments, days where God has spoken to me directly. We ought to always be thankful for the voice of God in our life. But there are times, as sad as this is to say, that a Christian will wander away or they will quench the Holy Spirit and they don't hear the word of God. My friend, it's up to us this morning to figure that out. Is God speaking? Is he purging? Is he cleaning? Is he trying to help us to where we can get back to bearing fruit for him? The personality of the true vine. I want you to notice, secondly this morning, the purpose of the true vine. Once again, there's a few thoughts that I see here. Verse number 2, the Bible says this, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I want you to see this, first of all. There is a distinct purpose that we see in these verses this morning. The vine has but one purpose, and once again, it's very clear, it's very evident as to what that purpose is this morning, but it is to produce fruit. The vine exists for that purpose alone, and without the fruit, the vine and all of its efforts are wasted. The true vine has a singular purpose, and that is to bear fruit to the glory of the Lord. I don't know what the statistics are this morning, but I tell you, I hear this word and I see this word more than any, fruitless Christian. Those are two words this morning, friend, that should not be in the same sentence. Those are two words this morning that ought not to define the Christians of our churches here in America this morning, or really the churches that we see throughout the world. Fruitless Christian. It's often sad to me when I see Christians walk away from church and they talk about all the bad things that God did in their life. They talk about all the times that God left them alone. Dear friend, God will never leave us nor forsake us. And like we've seen already this morning, maybe he's trying to take them and remove them or put them through some trial to help them get to a place to where they are no longer a fruitless Christian, because the only purpose we see in the true vine this morning is to produce fruit. There is a distinct purpose, but I want you to see there is a distinguished purpose. Look at verse number 8, if you will. The Bible says it like this, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." That ye bear much fruit. The reason the vine desires to produce fruit this morning is so that the vine dresser might receive honor. We think about the gardener, the vine dresser, that is God, and the true vine is Jesus Christ. We are the branches that should be abiding in the true vine. And when we produce fruit, it's not for our own glory. It's not for the further of our rewards. It's for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ and God the Father this morning. It's a distinguished purpose. All the glory passes on to the gardener this morning. So it is with the Lord Jesus that everything he did and everything he does was and is to glorify the Father. And this ought to be the burning desire of every child of God in here this morning. And that is this, to live our lives so that every waking minute is bringing glory and honor to the Father up above. And the Bible says it like this, the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." That's our purpose this morning. That's our purpose. There is something wrong in any life when there is no desire to bring glory and honor to the God who loves us, who sustains us, and cares for us along the way. And once again, the word fruitless Christian ought not to be. Our purpose is to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. But there is a third purpose here, and we're kind of shift gears here a little bit. Really, this is pretty much the end of my outline as it is this morning. Doesn't mean it's the end of the sermon, so don't get ready to leave. We will go into some more in-depth and some other points, and I have some things for you to take note of and write down, if you will. But I want you to see here, lastly, there is a delegated purpose. When we speak of the purpose here, I want you to notice this truth. The vine itself does not bear fruit. It's the fruit, and when we think about the fruit, they are the branches. They have the obligation of bearing the fruit. The vine supplies its life to the branches, and they take that life and use it to bear fruit. And here is a word to the branches about our fruit bearing. We think about fruit, once again, I'm not talking about a basket of apples and bananas, although some of you enjoy those things. I enjoy fruit to a certain extent. There are certain fruits I do not eat, and you may be the same way. I'm not talking about literal fruit here. We're talking about spiritual fruit as Jesus was preaching to his disciples here this morning. But the qualification, or I want you to see the purpose here, the delegated purpose of the fruit. And we're going to take a gear here, and I don't know if these are in your notes or not, but you can write them down if they're not. I want you to notice the qualifications for bearing fruit this morning. As we see from scriptures in verse number 2, the branch must be attached to the vine. Does that make sense to you? If we are going to bear fruit, I could illustrate it this way. How many of you have ever seen a broken branch? Here in Colorado, it's very common. Winds and rain and all these wonderful things that we get to experience. How about those late April snows that are just nothing but heavy, wet snow? They break the branches off, but I've seen hanging branches before. And what you'll notice over time is that even though that branch is hanging from the tree, it is no longer attached. Therefore, over time, and you can notice this when the leaves are in bloom or when they're changing colors, they will not have life in them. I wish I could have broken off a branch, but I enjoy my trees here at the church, and I don't want to go tear one down. But just use your imagination this morning, if you will. If it is no longer attached, it is no longer bearing fruit. So the qualifications that we see here come from verse 2, and it's very evident, it's very true. If you are not attached to the vine this morning, you are no longer bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. How many of you, just being honest, don't raise your hand this morning, but you know of Christians that are no longer attached to the vine? It's a sad moment, isn't it? It's a sad thing to see. We've all seen, maybe it's family members that have gone away from church. They want nothing to do with it. They are no longer bearing fruit. And our qualifications here are we ought to be attached. But I want you to notice also, the branch must abide in the vine. These are two different. I know many times we look at attached and abiding. Are those the same things? Look at verse number 4. Here's what the Bible says. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Nothing. A branch that becomes detached from a tree is no longer useful for anything. Really, the picture that we see here is more of a vine, and the Bible uses some clear imagery there in verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned, the Bible says. And I think maybe it was back in our Hosea study, we talked about the different types of wood and the trees, and remember that oak can still be used for things after it dies. Firewood, they can use it to build furniture. But when you think about a vine, and you think about the grapes, when it dies, it withers, it is good for nothing, the Bible says. And that's the imagery that God is giving us here. If we are not going to abide in the vine, we are good for nothing. Some strong language coming from Jesus this morning. You see, the closer we abide to the vine, the more his life can flow through us to produce the fruit that he desires. And really, there's some thoughts here and some questions. Is there any wonder this morning that so many Christians' lives are fruitless and barren this morning? The simple answer is this: they are not abiding in the true vine. I want you to notice the next qualification there that we see from this passage of Scripture is the branch must be available, or the quantity of our fruit. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here. the quantity of our fruit we see. We look back at the qualifications for bearing fruit, and all of these great things take place after we become children of God, amen. God saves us, God uses us, we are attached to the vine, and this is the process that we see. And there's really three thoughts and three areas where we begin to grow fruit. We talk about physical fruit this morning. Here's the spiritual fruit you will begin to notice in your life. Sanctification. And that is this, you become more like Him, amen. We become more like Christ when we're saved. And we see the second type of fruit is spirituality. And that is this, we behave more like Him. How many of you would just say this? I could do better if I behave more like Christ, amen. A few years back, that was my life verse, to walk in the Spirit. Not walk in the flesh, I shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit, I shall fulfill the things of the Spirit. That was my life verse, because it was just this thought. Whenever I do the things like Christ and whenever I behave like Christ, I find myself being more full of joy as a Christian, amen. But when I try to do things on my own, when I try to take my own spirituality in my hands, then I notice this, I don't behave like Christ. Maybe you noticed that, maybe you didn't, but those are really the areas. And the third area, the most important area here of our fruit, is that we see souls. And that is this, we are burdened like Christ. When we see Christ, the Bible says that He was moved with compassion. He saw the loss, He saw the need, and that's really where the quality of our fruit comes into place. This is not the branch's responsibility. When we are abiding in the vine and He is reproducing His life in us, we can rest assured this morning that the fruit that is produced is honoring to the Lord. Once again, that is a wonderful truth for me as a Christian this morning. When we do what we're supposed to do as Christians, fruit will come naturally. We don't have to set out and work and try to prove ourselves and do all these things. Pastor, I handed out 100 tracts this week. I handed out more than this person. I did this. We began to get into a weird place, and that's where the disciples found themselves just a few chapters earlier. The quality of our fruit's important, but I want you to see the quantity or the quagmire of the fruitlessness. I apologize. And I want you to notice verse number 6, the Bible says this, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Here's the truth about this passage of Scripture. Not every branch abides in the vine as it should. Here's the truth a little bit further as we look at this. It is still attached, but it has ceased to draw life from the vine's fullness. And as a result, it is fruitless and withered. And when this happens, there will be three certain results you will see. Once again, these aren't in your notes, but you're welcome to write them down. The result you'll see when you are not attached to Jesus Christ this morning is this, and they are as follows, a loss of fellowship. Once again, you will lose fellowship with not only Jesus Christ, but with God the Father. And when our relationships with God and Jesus Christ aren't well, then our relationships here on earth aren't well. And our relationships to our spouses aren't what they should be. Our relationships to our children are not what they should be. When things aren't the way that God intended them, we lose relationships. There's a loss of vitality. The word that comes to mind here is withered. Possessing no life, dead and dried up. Once again, a branch that is no longer attached to the tree. This describes many Christians this morning. It didn't used to be this way, but now there is deadness where there used to be life. There is weakness where there used to be power. There is emptiness where there used to be fullness. My counsel is for you to come back and renew that long fellowship that you had with Jesus Christ. The third thought that I see here this morning is there is a loss of reward. Once again, we shouldn't do things just for trophies. We shouldn't do things just for recognition. And my dear friend, when we do things in the right spirit, you better believe that God already sees and God already knows, and He's setting rewards up for us in heaven. And I long and desire for the day that I hear Jesus Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But sometimes we lose our rewards because we're no longer bearing fruit. Or we're bearing the wrong kind of fruit. The Bible is very clear this morning. Those who abide in Jesus Christ will get to hear, ultimately one day, the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, we see all of these things, and there's a lot of things to take in here once again this morning, and I want to end with just three thoughts. These aren't on there, but there will be a list to follow here, and I want you to pay very close attention to that. Those who abide in the true vine this morning, those of us that allow Christ to be the source for our everyday strength, to guide us and lead us. Last week we talked about God's Word being a navigation for our life. Those of us that allow God's Word to clean us, we use it like a mirror. As James would say, we allow it to pierce our heart and show us the areas where we need to change, where we need to do differently. Those of us that are abiding, the Bible gives us a very clear promise here. And there's really three areas that I want you to see that it comes to fruition in these passages of Scripture. Verse number 7, I would say it like this, an unhindered prayer life. If you are abiding in Christ, you will experience these benefits. First of all, it is an unhindered prayer life. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says it like this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, I already know what you're thinking because I've thought the same thing in this life. Pastor, does that mean if I'm following and serving God that he will answer any prayer request that I throw his way? Yes, to a certain extent. Usually when we abide in Christ, what we're going to see is we see things the way that Christ sees it. We're not going to be praying that God blesses our lottery ticket, amen. We're going to pray that God brings souls to church. That God sees souls saved, and through us he sees those. God will answer those requests. We're going to see that God is listening to our requests for our lost family members this morning. It's an unhindered prayer life, and those of you that are praying for lost family members, let me just say it like this morning, don't give up. It may not always happen in your time frame, but God is watching and God is listening this morning, and he wants you to know he will answer your prayer as long as you continue abiding in him. I'd say it like this. Secondly, the second benefit that we will experience as we abide in Christ is an unending love. Look at verse number 9, if you will. The Bible says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. I'll just say it like this very simply. Jesus loves all men always. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But those of us who are abiding in him this morning, we have entered into a special, ever-deepening relationship with him. How many of you, just in your heart right now, I don't need a show of hands, but you would say this, I'm so thankful for the relationship I have with Jesus Christ. After my salvation, I see things a little bit differently. I understand the pain I caused him in this life. I understand the times that I've cheated on him spiritually. It hurt him, but always, 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 he loves me, and he cares for me, and he wants me to come back. I'm so thankful for that love this morning. The last benefit I would say like this, we see it comes from verse number 11. The Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Does anyone want to take a guess at what this next one is? What I see a benefit of abiding in Jesus Christ is this, an uncommon joy. You see, joy is not happiness this morning. Many of us are happy that we got a nice car. Many of us are happy we have a place to lay our head at night. Happiness, it always comes from wanting something. And when you think about it as Christians this morning, there's really a problem we all suffer from this morning. It's always wanting something. And that just didn't start last week. It started when you were a kid, back when you were a baby. Just notice, if you will, with me. You ever heard a crying baby? What do they usually want, mama? They want food. They want care, they want nurture. As they begin to get a little bit older, their wants change, and you look at the young kids that are in kindergarten, and they want to be in first and second grade, and you look at the kids that are in elementary school, they want to be in junior high, and they get to junior high, and you look at the kids that are in junior high, they want to be in high school, and they get to high school, they want their driver's license, and they get their driver's license, they want to graduate from high school, and they graduate from high school. Sometimes they want to go to college, or they want to move out of their house, and maybe they want to get married, and they want to have their own kids. And usually what happens when we get married, we want those kids, amen. Then we have those kids and we want them to be old so they can graduate. It's always a circle, if you will, of wanting more and more and needing the next thing and wanting. And we feel, if I just have this, my joy will be full. Friend, we are sorely mistaken. I want you to understand this morning, it is the deep, settled assurance and confidence in our relationship with the Father and His Christ that fills this heart with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to give you just three thoughts as we close this morning. Four thoughts, very quickly. These are in your notes. This is what the joy of abiding in Christ looks like. Joy is divine in its nature. When we think about joy, it originates with God and is only given by God. It is absolutely unaffected by earthly or material things. Once again, we're not always looking for the next best thing. Why? Because we are perfectly happy and content, and we have joy because we are abiding in Christ. Secondly, joy is not dependent upon happiness, once again. We think this is going to bring happiness in my life. If I have this much money, I'll be happy. If I have this much land, I'll be happy. If I have all of this, I'll be happy. Have you figured it out yet? We're never truly happy. Joy is not dependent upon happiness. God's joy, if you will, abides at all times, even the most difficult times in our life. The third thought is this: joy is the product of faith. You see, when one is assured of one's standing in Christ, joy is ultimately the result. And I would say lastly this morning, joy in the Lord produces faithfulness to the Lord. Aren't you so glad that God protects for us? He looks out for us. He cleans us. He knows. As long as we abide in Him, let me just encourage you this morning with this thought as we close, we will have joy unspeakable and full of glory as long as we abide in Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.
Once again, thank you for listening. If you have any other questions or would like to contact a member of our staff, feel free to call us at 970-353-7635.